Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
We have a guest speaker today, and if you haven't caught on yet, to give us our final part of our series on the where of why, who, what, and where. I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to give a strong welcome, loving welcome for Chelsea Peterson as she comes to bring the word, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Am I on? Y'all got me? There we go. First of all, thank you to Katie for letting me know my mic was on when I was trying to make sure the guys didn't spill my water. And thank you to the guys that brought out this water without spilling it. All right, so today we're in the final series of Where. And before I jump into it, I just want to thank you all and Pastor Keith and Katie for embracing women at the podium. I grew up in a church where you did not hear a woman at the podium. And if it wasn't for them embracing that diversity and giving that opportunity, we would have missed that great message from Molly last week, right? All right, so I'm going to start off with a little life antidote about myself. So when I was a young girl, she's taking us back to her childhood. I always had to flip my card in elementary school from green to yellow for talking. I talked too much to too many people, too loudly, too often. I just talked. Are we still flipping our cards in elementary school? Are we still punishing children? We do? Oh, good, good. So I always had to flip my card for talking, and my kindergarten teacher actually came to my wedding and told my husband I would try to embarrass Chelsea by saying, what did I just say? But she could always regurgitate it back to me, and I would try to move her seat to get her to sit by people she didn't know very well, but she would just talk to everyone. So I got in trouble for talking, and then as I grew up, I got involved in sports, and I developed a passion for health and wellness and athletics. So it's only fitting with those two traits that I now have a career where I talk to people about health and wellness all day, every day, as a physical therapist. So the point is, if you're a little girl and you're getting in trouble for school for talking too much and just being too much, just keep going. There's a path for you. I'm just joking. Mind your manners, mind your teacher. The point is that God knew exactly who I would be in his kingdom and in his ministry. He knew even from a young age where my ministry would be. And now I have the opportunity to help heal people, show compassion, show patience, anybody in healthcare, right? All these traits that Jesus is working on in me in my everyday life. Nothing that God gifts you with or no position that he puts you in is by accident. All right, let us pray. Dear Lord, I just want to lift up this message to you that it is all from you and nothing from me, because if what you have to say is not what comes out of my mouth, then there is just nothing worth saying here today. I pray that somebody in the sound of my voice is encouraged today, that the talents that you've given them are unique, they are special, they're important, and that we want them to use them in your body, your church, and more importantly, you want them to use them in your body, in your church. I pray for encouragement, I pray for discernment and wisdom today, and I just pray in this 2024 season that our church continues to look above and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to put a QR code on the screen. This QR code is a link to our spiritual gifts assessment. So if you guys had the opportunity to do this assessment online, it was on our social media, Facebook and Instagram. If you haven't done it yet, if you scan this code and save it on your phone, you can complete it after service. So today we're talking about the where, and that one of the most important things of knowing where you serve in Christ's body, where you fall into Christ's body, is knowing what you're gifted with. So spiritual gifts are specific gifts that the Lord gives to you in order to further his kingdom here on earth. So I've got three main ideas for you today, and the first one is serve where you are called. So sometimes God calls us very specifically to a place, or for the sake of this message, to a ministry, right? And that seems like maybe kind of the easy way. God tells you what to do, and so you do it. But if you've ever been called to something, you know it's not quite that easy, right? There's that time where you kind of bargain with God, like, really, God, is that really where you want me? Are you sure you didn't want me to be a really good singer instead? Right? There's that moment where we kind of wrestle with God, and it can be difficult to step out to where he's calling you. So I have a couple examples today. You all are wonderful, but these people, I asked them specifically if I could embarrass them, and they said yes. So my first example is Miss Glenda Lopez. So that's right. Give it up for Glenda. So if you don't know Glenda, she is our kids ministry leader, and she actually felt the call to kids ministry several times before she was asked by Keith into kids ministry, and that was kind of like the final tug from God of, okay, God, I'm going to answer this calling. And these are her spiritual gifts here, and you might notice her first top spiritual gift is craftsmanship. Now, of course, service, miracles, faith, and helps is all important in serving in kids ministry, but Glenda's specific gift of craftsmanship has really helped our kids ministry in a very unique way. So if you've ever walked back there and seen the setups that Glenda has made for our kids, they're big visual masterpieces, right, that help the message be relevant, helps our children remember the message. I think we've got an example of something that she made that was a YouTube box. So the kids were doing their own, like, YouTube clips, their own YouTube videos. So you can see how she uses the talent that God gave her, but is still fulfilling a place that she was called into. So point number one, listen to where the Lord is placing you and serve where you are called. Now, if you're anything like me, and I would wager, maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel better, more people in the room, you might not feel that specific God call to one area of ministry. So my second point is serve where you can. So when the Lord planted this church through Pastor Keith and Katie, I knew that I wanted to help them. I wanted to be all in. I wanted to serve this church. I knew that the Holy Spirit did not give me the gift of singing. I knew that he did not give me the gift of teaching 20 children all at the same time with questions. I felt like in the typical church roles, I didn't quite know where I was falling in. So I just started saying yes to everything. So I just started saying yes, and through saying yes, the Lord has kind of like narrowed down what my specific talents and gifts are. So our text today is going to be Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. So this is the parable of the talents. You might have heard it called that, or the parable of bags of gold. We know that Jesus spoke in parables not to confuse us, but to elicit a heart change, a thought process. It's a good way for him to show us the upside down kingdom of heaven here on earth in a way that convicts us to action, right? So the parable of the talents, I'm going to try to read it all the way through so you guys stay with me. In verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them to make another 5. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came to settle accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you the ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came to the Lord and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That was really harsh. I'm not good. My husband would beg to differ, but with harsh text. I'm an encourager. I like to feel fluffy when I read the Bible, right? So stuff like this kind of makes me go like, ooh, in my soul. What he was saying was, you could have at least hid my money in the bank where it would have gotten interest. This is like trying to explain to your 80-year-old grandma to take the money out from under the mattress and put it in like an IRA or a CD, right? It's a slap in the face to the God that gave you the blessing to hide it and say, "I don't know what to do with it. I might not be able to do anything with it, so I'll just bury it here." Some of these versions of text say bags of gold instead of talent. And in that time, we knew that 1 bag of gold could take 20 years to obtain. So just because the third servant got 1 bag of gold and not the 5 and not the 2, it doesn't mean that that 1 bag of gold wasn't precious and unique and special and took a long time to decide who to give it to and to make it, right? So when the Lord gives you one thing and you say, "Well, it doesn't look like hers or him, and I don't have the talents that they have or that she has," and you bury it away, it's a disgrace to the fact that he gave you something that he meant for you, that was important to you and unique to you, that you were supposed to use to build his kingdom. Can I be honest with you guys this morning? Nobody said yes, so I'll just skip that part. Okay, I can be? Okay. Maybe the Lord isn't entrusting you with more because you're not fulfilling his kingdom with what he's given you. Maybe he hasn't given you that spouse because you haven't proved to him that he's enough for you single. Maybe he's not blessing you with that home because the home that you have, you don't worship him in it. Maybe you haven't gotten that promotion because in the office you're in, nobody knows that you're a Christian. Maybe you're not getting more wealth because the wealth that you have, you don't give to the needy. Maybe your family's not being elevated because in your marriage, when you have conflict, you don't seek God first. Listen, I'm not saying that God's a punishing God. I'm not saying he's always testing you. Sometimes life is just hard, but isn't it some food for thought to think, what am I doing with what I've been given? Do I deserve to be entrusted with more? Because he knows what's good for you, and he's not going to give you more than he knows he can trust you with. What are you burying today? I tell you, every Sunday, I pray that the gift that I'm burying is that deep down in there, I'm a good singer. He hasn't showed me that talent yet, right? But maybe if I keep doing well with what he's given me. Hey, God. There are so many of you that have stepped up and filled in gaps at this church, that have stepped up and served when we've needed servants, haven't even asked what the project is yet. But one specific couple that I knew I could embarrass today is Amber and Damon. So we've got this lovely photo of them up here. I tried to find a more embarrassing one, but that was the one that I found. Amber and Damon, they just serve anytime that you ask for somebody to serve. They serve on our Gen Connects team every other Sunday. You'll see Damon setting up everything we need for the church, waving the foam hands. You'll see Amber at the door passing out communion or telling people when the doors open, just, you know, running the lobby. When you fill out this spiritual gifts assessment, there will be nothing on there that says you're supposed to wave foam hands at the church. So I just want to preface that. It's not going to come to you, but you might get one of these talents that Amber and Damon have. So if you see, Damon's first talent is also craftsmanship, which you know to be true if you've ever gotten here when Damon, Dick, John, William, Mike, I don't want to miss anybody, is fixing a tent or a sign or something that should be up and running but is missing a part because we lost it in the trailer or it broke in half, right? So we know that that's his talent. We've seen it in our Christmas floats. But the big idea is that he just steps up to serve where he can, and then the Lord shows him where that craftsmanship comes in, right? Same for Amber. So Amber's talent is exhortation. And I had to look that word up. Exhortation, which means, by the way, the ability to strengthen, comfort, and urge others to action with biblical truth. Have any of you ever been urged to action by Amber? Damon, you don't count. But we know that that's true. We know that that's her talent. If you've spent 5 minutes with Amber, you've been recruited for something that you didn't ask to be recruited for. So we know that that's her talent, right? So we see these two stepping up and serving and being the light on the hill in Hillsboro. And it might seem to you like waving hands at the church and standing at the door, you know, that's not exactly where you think their talents line up. But because they said yes and they used their talents, do you know what we've seen in Generation Life Church? We've seen a row full of people in this auditorium. We've seen children asked to be baptized. We've seen a friend be invited to church, start serving in the church, pray for her husband to come to church, who now prays for his kids to come to church. Do you hear what I'm saying? We've seen generational blessings. We've seen more people added to heaven because two people stepped up and said, yes, I will do that job. It is important to step up and say yes. Imagine getting to heaven and being told with your talent, well done, my good and faithful servant. Look at all the people that are here because you stepped out and said yes and brought them to me. Even if you aren't the banker, you're not the best finance person, if you put God's talent in the bank, his interest is always good. So step up and serve where you can. My last point today is serve because you are vital to the body. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but I just felt like I couldn't preach this message without saying, if the reason that you're not serving in the church is because you don't feel important, I just want you to say, enemy, get behind me, because that's a lie. If the reason that you're choosing not to serve is because you don't feel holy enough, you don't know the Bible well enough, you don't have your prayer rhythm down to where you want it, that's a lie. It's not a good reason to not step up and take your place in the body of Christ. I didn't know I was going to tell this story, so sorry, Keith, it's not in my approved notes. He's not running up here, so I guess I can still tell it. At the church that we were at before Generation Life Church, Keith asked me to greet at the door. Seemed like a low-pressure job to me. I was so frightened because I told him, I grew up here and I left, and you guys kind of know, you know, what happened to my life when I left, and I've now moved back and I'm trying to get right with the Lord. And I told him, I really feel like one day somebody's gonna come up and they're gonna know, or they're gonna think they know how I used to be, and they're gonna be like, that girl is who you have at the door of your church. It didn't seem fair to me that Keith and Katie, who I all but think walk on water, would be judged by my life choices. It wasn't fair to me to think somebody might think this is not the church for me because I know how that girl's lived and they let her serve here. It was deep. It was a deep cut and just a shameful ask. And do you know what Keith said to me? He might not even remember this, but I do because it was such a turning point in how I saw organized religion. He said, let them judge and let them see what God has done. Thank you. So if that's you today and you're wrestling with shame or doubt or whatever it may be, come serve anyway, because your testimony is one of the most beautiful parts of what can bring people to God's kingdom. Let them see what God has done. Let them see how much you chase after God, how much your family wants to serve God, how important being in His body is to you. I don't know what the voice inside your head today is saying. I know you guys have been looking at these ping pong balls, and I put them here so that you would pay attention to my whole sermon and wonder what they're here for. I'm just joking. I saw a pastor on TikTok use this as an analogy for something else, and I'm so sorry I didn't get his name because I only listened to him for like 6 seconds, but this is me trying to give him credit. Not because he was bad, because the TikTok was only 6 seconds. So if that voice inside your head is saying, I'm not holy enough, or I've got such a shameful past, I don't know the Bible well enough, they don't want me to teach their children, I can't commit to every Sunday or every other Sunday, I haven't been baptized as an adult, and I probably need to get baptized again. What I want you to do today is to consider starting to pour, taking one step of saying, well, I can't give them every Sunday, but maybe I can give them one Sunday a month. I don't feel like I'm equipped yet to teach the children, but maybe I can help Glenda set up. I don't know that I want to greet, but maybe I can order stuff for them. I know I'm not supposed to be up here speaking, but maybe I can help do some other tasks for Keith so that he can get away to study, right? Maybe I don't know how to pray yet, but I'm just going to start praying. Maybe I don't really like praying for other people all the time, but I'm just going to start and see what the Lord shows me. Because you see what happens, all this garbage, it just kind of goes away, right? Like, because you know what happens when you step out and you say, I'm going to take the first step and start serving. You want to serve more. Your kids see you serve. Now they want to serve. Now there's a rhythm of serving in your family because you said yes to one simple thing. You know what happens when you start praying for somebody? The Lord shows you why you should keep praying for them. You know what happens when you get deep in the Word? The Lord shows you keep flipping the page because you need to know more and more of this. When you start playing your worship music in the car, you just keep going and going and the playlist keeps showing you more and more, and then you're in your car with your hands up to Jesus with one hand on the wheel and somebody's looking at you like you're a weirdo and you're like, thank God, maybe they'll know Jesus because they saw me in my car worshiping. I don't know what it is today, but when you take step one, they keep going. It keeps going. This culture, we've got this leech mindset that motivation has to precede action, and that's just not true. How many times have you drug yourself to the gym, but once you got in there, you kept going? You don't need to be motivated and see the whole sea to take one step and let God part that much. He'll keep parting it for you step by step by step. I pray today that you take one step to start pouring. Just the one. Because once you start, it is hard to stop. And then you see how important you are to the body. Molly talked to us last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about how every part of the body has to work together for a healthy church. You're vital to this body. We want you to serve here. Our last slide is a QR code of how you can connect with us. When you click this QR code, you'll see a drop-down tab of the different ministries that we have at Gen Life. I pray that you take the step today to click one. And if you've done your spiritual gifts assessment and you still don't quite understand where you fall in those categories, my email's here. Send me an email. We'll get you connected to the right person that can help you with those talents. Here's the deal. The truth is, we can do church with less. We have done it with less. Keith has preached in a room with no heat, no mic. Megan's done worship with two singers and two instruments. Our church is growing. We do need laborers for the harvest, but God will make this church work whether we have 3 volunteers or 50. us wanting you to serve, it doesn't just have to do with us needing help as a church. It's for you. It's for your relationship with God. This morning I was talking to my Connects team, and you know what all of them said? They all said, we found community through serving here. We came in one Sunday, didn't really feel like serving that day, and one of my friends asked me to pray for him. We have a community here. Molly talked to us last week about how important it is to not be alone. The pandemic of loneliness, they called it. That's what serving combats. It gives you a community. It gives you people to pray for. A rhythm of serving, it's good for you and your family. It makes you think about other people. It makes you look above. It's for you. Now, each ministry paid me this morning for whose ministry I would plug the most. And Glenda won, so go serving kids. I'm just kidding. They all need help. There's not a bad ministry up here when you do that QR code that doesn't need help. They all need help. Pick your favorite, right? A couple that might not be super self-explanatory when you do the drop-down tab, that I just wanted to make sure that I explain, is our Gen Connects team. That is our greeting and serving team. Our SWAT team is the people that set up our church. And the last one that I feel like is just not super self-explanatory is Kevin's crew. So Kevin's crew is a group of predominantly men.
Ooh.
Thank you. I appreciate the whoa. Predominantly men that serve in our community to build ramps, to build things that the community needs, to do physical activities out in the community. They pick up trash, and it is named after our late brother, Kevin Dindy. And if you guys don't know Kevin, he was a servant. I unfortunately didn't get to know Kevin very well. I had 3 interactions with him. One of them, he was helping me. One of them, he was helping our church. And the last one, he was changing a tire for someone in the parking lot of the church that we were meeting at that didn't attend the church, just happened to blow a tire. After he died, I sat with his wife, our friend Becky Dindy, and I listened to 20-plus victim impact statements. You know what every single one said? He served his country, his wife, his friends, his community. He was a veteran. He was a physician's assistant. He was a brother. He was a friend. And every single person said that about him. By a lot of respects, his life was cut short. He was way too young when he passed. But in the eyes of the Lord, that saw a life that gave every single day that he was alive, his life was plenty long enough. What a legacy to leave here on earth, that you were a servant for Jesus. He had every qualification in the world, medical school, he was a veteran, he served our country, and he was so humble and just served every single place that he could. I don't know about you guys, but I sat there and thought, Lord, when you take me home, I pray this is what people say about me. So today, I'm asking you to step out and serve this body of Christ, because you're called, because we need you to serve where you can, and because you're vital and you're just so daggone important to the Lord and to us and to yourself. It's not about me needing people to greet us. It's not about Megan needing more people to come sing. It's not about Glenda needing help and kids. All those things are so beyond true. It's not about Joseph needing somebody to help him with the camera, but it's about you and the life and legacy that you're going to leave here. The amount of people that are going to be in heaven saying, I'm in heaven because Megan or Becky or Roberta or Joseph or whoever led me here through serving. Jesus washed feet. And I don't know about you, but I'm not better than Jesus. So if our Lord, Savior, came here to serve and to wash feet, so will I. Amen, church? Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for everyone that you've already called to service, everyone that is already stepping in and filling in the gaps and bringing people to you, God. I want to thank you in advance for everyone that is going to hear this message and think, today is the day. Today is the day where I start pouring. I want to thank you in advance for all the laborers of the harvest that you're going to bring to your body of Christ, not just because we need them, Lord, but because you need them to take up their place in their body. And most importantly, they need to take up their place in the body to be closer to you, God. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice's relationship with you, that they grow closer in you by trying to be more and more like your son, Jesus. I thank you for the way that you have showed us through so many examples in life how everything works together for your good. I thank you for the miracle of human being, God, and just the analogy that Paul gave us of the body and how important it is for everything that works together. I thank you that anybody that has seen life brought into this world knows how important it is for every part of your body work together, and how we know that you put everything specifically where you wanted it, where you needed it, to glorify you and only you. I pray that everyone takes that metaphor literally and realizes how important they are to your body, and that we are made to glorify you, to worship you. If you will serve Jesus, so will I. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.